take yourself away from doing the business and think more about the business. The more that you let yourself be impacted by noise around you, the less time you actually have to critically think about what the business needs you to focus on and do, and importantly, execute on.
Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business, conversations to help your business grow and thrive. Hi, I'm Paul Sweeney, founder of Pretium Solutions, chartered accountants and certified business advisors, hosting the Business Behind Your Business. Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business, and we're still in a lockdown environment, or we're back in lockdown again, and we're going to be looking at a timely topic today and looking at the situation where your business might be struggling a bit, particularly because of the current situation and lockdown preventing you from trading. And can you or can you not get access to some government assistance during this time? So who best to talk to about this? Well, I think the answer there is Bruce Gleason from Jones Partners. And Bruce, welcome back to the podcast. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Thank you for the invitation back. It's always good to be able to have these chats with you and be able to provide information to business owners, particularly in that family business or SME segment, which you and I have talked frequently about. I think what's interesting this time round, and there is certainly a sense of deja vu, but with the important impact, of course, that a lot of these family businesses haven't properly recovered from the first round of lockdowns during sort of 2020. And there's also not a lot of positive signaling about when we might come out of this second round of lockdowns. And I think that's really, even as a business owner myself, what I sort of constantly struggle with in a mindset that, well, how do you plan when you're not sure sort of when, the finish line is going to appear in front of you?
Mm-hmm. And I think you've mentioned it already that we are at a stage where it's the second time around and most businesses haven't recovered and cash reserves are really running dry. So some people are going to be saying, looking at this situation and saying, well, what should I do? Should I keep going with my business? Are there options available to me to get through this if I can't get some assistance? Mm-hmm. Who do I turn to? Who do I trust?
Yeah, well, I think the very first thing that business owners need to do is take themselves out of the business for a moment. And by that, I simply mean by taking themselves out of the picture or out of the doing of the business on a day-to-day basis, they can actually think about where the position of the business is at in a rational and calm manner. Now, that doesn't mean that they need to take themselves out of the business for a week. It could be, and in the midst of this whole lockdown, there's lots of people walking around the street, there's lots of people running around the street, there's lots of people cycling around the street. And it could be that that's the opportunity to be thinking about the business without actually being in it. And I think even in normal business operating conditions, you and I would encourage business owners to be thinking about the business as opposed to always being in it, because that is actually when the best ideas and the best planning actually sort of can be done. And so notwithstanding the somewhat sort of difficult predicament that businesses are in at the moment, the very first thing I think that they should do is take themselves out of the business and think about what's going on, think about what they've had to confront in the past, and then be able to say, okay, there's two fundamental questions that need to be looked at, I believe, is one, particularly for the smaller family businesses, how are they feeling about the future, firstly? And that's both a subjective and objective question. We'll deal with both of those aspects. And the second thing is, what other resources do I need around me to help me with both of those aspects? So I think even the most disciplined business owner, finds time to think about the business. And there's never more critical time than now to be doing that. In terms of that subjective and objective assessment, the subjective really is the business owners looking at themselves, having come through, as we just touched on a moment ago, not having fully recovered from the first round of COVID, really what kind of energy and enthusiasm do they have to get through this current lockdown phase? Because the reality is that we know that family businesses inherently run off the emotional drive of the business owners. And so there does need to be a fairly honest assessment of that, and not one that is really, really short term. There has to be a subjective view taken on the basis of how they're feeling now, but importantly also looking at, you know, how they were feeling as we were coming out of the first sort of COVID lockdown period, and there was a level of momentum that businesses were getting back again. I think human beings are interesting in that we all, in, I guess, darker periods, we tend to become very short-term focused, and we need to always be thinking, okay, once we move beyond that, what does it look like? So that's the first thing, subjective. An objective assessment is really looking at what is the financial position of the business as it presently stands? What hit did it take during the first round of COVID? And what might it need to get through this second round of COVID? And therefore, I think the objective assessment needs to be a lot more short-term focused, because really what our role as advisors is to do is to help work with those businesses to get them through this next sort of 6 to 12 month period, still with an eye though on knowing that there's probably been a lot of debt that has been deferred from the first round of COVID and may even be deferred from the second round of COVID. So we do also need to factor in how that might play through once we move out, because there's still, you know, real debts that the business will need to have a focus on.
Mm. Yeah, and so I guess a lot of businesses are at that stage where a lot has happened very quickly, and they haven't, I guess they've sort of been formulating their plans for the next 12 months, but have had to put all of those on hold. So how do you take that assessment when you don't know when your income's going to start again? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think for different businesses, it's going to require slightly different adaptations. You know, there's been a term sort of used during the initial phase of COVID and this sort of second phase, which is agility and the ability to pivot. Now, all of those things are nice sort of buzzy words, but I think fundamentally, when you don't have a lot of certainty around what your future revenues look like in the short term, you have to then take quite conservative views when you're looking at the objective financial data. And if those conservative views are that there's either no revenue or very little revenue, then they are obviously your worst case scenarios, but that should be the starting position, I dare say, so that you can work out what level of cost you can then manage against that sort of benchmark, overlaid with what government support is available to assist in that as well. I think the thing is that, as we saw with the first round of COVID, there was so much information coming at business owners that it was enough to give them a migraine. And this current sort of lockdown, there's been a plethora of information thrown at them as well. And that they, you know, some of them will be able to assess whether they're eligible or not themselves, but some of them should ideally at least reach out and check with their professional advisor about what they may and may not qualify for. And indeed, there's going to be instances where, notwithstanding the assistance and the way that they've designed the support packages, that there'll be some businesses that, even though probably ought to qualify, they won't for one reason or another, and they will fall through the cracks. And I think, so against that objective assessment, it's important for the businesses in the short term to understand what support isn't available to them, because that will factor also into this objective assessment of the viability in the short term.
Yeah, and I think that's where probably some of the uncertainty is playing on the minds of a lot of business owners, because, you know, we looking at the New South Wales situation, we had the announcement, we moved into lockdown three, four weeks ago, and the announcement was going to be that there's some funding available, but, you know, the first batch of that funding, the applications came open on the 19th of July, and it wasn't really until the 19th of July that we actually got some clarity about the eligibility criteria and how you actually measured whether you were entitled or not. And there's still some vagueness in there. So that uncertainty makes it hard to plan going forward. But the other thing there is that there's probably 11 different aspects to the New South Wales aspects or payments, so or assistance with waiver of debts. So there is a bit more to it than just that one cash grant. And also not knowing if the lockdown continues past the current date, what's going to be the situation? Is this funding going to continue? Is it going to still be available? Or if anybody missed out on the first batch, are they going to be eligible to make a claim going forward? So there's a lot of answers that haven't been given at this stage. And I think when we don't have answers or don't have clarity, it does make it hard to plan.
Yeah, look, I think the thing is too, Paul, that a lot of the family businesses or SMEs don't have the same margin for error that bigger corporates or listed enterprises have. And that feeds into that point that you just made, that when there's a lack of clarity and those businesses don't have the same margin for error, the impact on these kinds of lockdowns and just a lack of clarity is more profound. And I think that's when we need to strip it back to the basics and say, okay, the objective assessment needs to be short term. We need to make some fairly conservative assumptions about what revenues might do or might not do, and look at how then we can match and or minimise or otherwise, I guess, extend out our expense management side of the business. And I think to that extent, as I mentioned, is that the banks have introduced sort of a level of deferrals. Again, we know that the respective sort of state revenue departments have introduced sort of payroll tax deferrals. And I think, you know, there's certainly the opportunity for payment arrangements to be entered with the ATO. And so I guess when we look at some of the bigger costs that a business might have on a regular basis, then I'd be looking at those kind of things to see how they can be sort of almost extended out in the short term as a way of serving as a bridge to get the business to the other side and out of lockdown. But that importantly goes back to that subjective assessment that I mentioned earlier as well, that the business owners have got to see that there's enough light at the end of the tunnel so that they have the petrol in the tank to get to the other side of the bridge as well. But with that margin for error being a lot less, then I think the next obvious point that, you know, stands out is that there's got to be some early intervention taken by the business owners, and they have to know that they don't have to do all this alone. They don't have to try and work out if they're eligible for all of these types of assistance that are there. They should reach out to their professional advisors and take that help and assistance. And if that means that there needs to be some further consideration around the position of the business, then it enables, you know, a crisis plan to be able to be articulated. Now, you and I have talked before about crisis plans, and some listeners of this podcast might say, oh, that sounds like a really detailed document. No, it doesn't need to be a detailed document. It just needs to provide a roadmap forward for the business, because I think what do we know? What do I know from my experience? I know that stressed business owners tend to make poor business decisions, and that's not because they want to. It's just that they're stressed. Whereas if there's a plan or a crisis management sort of plan, even if it's a roadmap, then they've got something to help them navigate through the process, and so they're not making poor decision upon poor decision, which then compounds itself.
I guess there's some similarities to, I guess, an emergency department where people come for treatment. I guess the first thing is you're not going to give somebody that's just rocked up to emergency a health and fitness plan for the next 12 months without addressing the immediate impact. And I think the first thing we've got to do is put those band-aids in place or the bandages with what assistance is available, make sure you capture that as quickly as possible, and then look at what can be done in the business. So I know a lot of businesses that we've worked with have actually changed, and I'm avoiding that pivot word, but I've just mentioned it, by changing the way that they deliver the same kind of product or service. So I've mentioned this in other discussions, like where we have, say, a tattoo artist who wasn't able to do any physical work, was able to do some merchandising of some of their designs and artwork, you know, repurposing the same content. We've seen, you know, people go to online lessons or online coaching rather than face-to-face. We've seen a lot more click and collect type arrangements where the processes have been streamlined. Now, it's not too late to do some of those things if you haven't already put them in place. But the first thing is you've got to treat the hemorrhaging. I think you say you need to have a look at, you know, what are your expenses? What can you defer? What can you eliminate at the moment? And then build a plan for what you're going to do going forward. But I think it's easy to get overwhelmed, and we try to get people to focus on just one or two things that they're going to do really well, that they're going to fix straight away. But that might not be, that might still not be possible for some businesses.
No, it may not, Paul, but I think the key message, you know, I'm a keen reader of a lot of sort of investment books, and one of the things I've taken from that over the past few years is this constant message where it says turn down the noise around you, and it's the messaging is that they'll at the moment there's so much information sort of coming at sort of business owners in terms of what the daily infection rates are and what this lockdown is going to mean and do, and I simply say to some of the business owners at the moment, try and turn down the noise a little bit so that you can actually then, as I said earlier, take yourself away from doing the business and think more about the business. The more that you let yourself be impacted by noise around you, the less time you actually have to critically think about what the business needs you to focus on and do and, importantly, execute on. And so, you know, in these days where everything is in front of us in terms of social media or the internet, I do sort of say that we're all at times guilty of that, but we do need to be reminded to dial down the noise a little bit and just focus on what actually we need to do as business owners, and make sure particularly that the key staff that are critical to your business understand what you're wanting them to focus on as part of this also objective assessment to work out how the business gets to the other side of the bridge. Because I think that's the other point here, is that notwithstanding that some of these businesses have worked out a different way to maybe repurpose their services, as you said, at the end of it, you know, your key employees will also and should also be used to help develop other ideas to see how those services can be repurposed. You don't have to be the one that is coming up with everything. And I think if it's the one thing we've seen through COVID is that your key employees do genuinely want to help the business owner, and you've just got to be prepared to have those kinds of discussions with them and invite them into the tent, so to speak. And you'd be surprised where that might get you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't have to do it alone. Like, I think a lot of small business owners, because it has been their baby, it has been, you know, the service, the process has been designed around how they want to do things, how they want to deliver. They've sort of built in that I guess dependence or on the owner, and using your employees and other advice to look at what you do objectively and say, hey, there's a better way, or we could also do this as well, is certainly beneficial.
I think, Paul, the other point is that, you know, it goes back to my comment of two comments about early intervention and proper help. You know, it's a bit like using a medical analogy, dare I say, during the second phase of COVID. You know, you want to go to your doctor when you feel like something's not quite right with yourself, rather than putting off for 12 or 18 or 24 months and just putting it down to, oh, look, you know, I was just not having a good week or something. So, you know, the earlier that you take some steps to try and correct or work out what course of action needs to be taken within the business, and that's done with getting proper external assistance, then you've at least got, as I said earlier, that roadmap, that brief crisis plan to sort of help you get through that period. And I can't sort of emphasize that enough, that the number of times I've seen over the 25 years that I've been doing this work, that particularly family business owners, they think they've got to own everything. They think they've got to own all the problems and therefore be responsible for owning all of the solutions, and you don't need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Yeah, absolutely. So now, I don't want to dwell too much on this, but Bruce, there's going to be a number of businesses out there where the owner has gone through this subjective and objective assessment and they've decided that it's time to pull up stumps, it's time to close down the business. What would be the process that somebody should consider?
I think the first step really is once they've gone through that subjective and objective assessment, and if, you know, at the end of that, sort of they need to get an initial assessment, then certainly, you know, most firms like mine do provide that free consultation where really it's about them getting information about the process. And one of the key questions, Paul, that I ask all the time is, what do you think needs to happen? Now, they may not use the technical words that I might be familiar with, but I guess importantly, that question is important because it can actually then tease out quite properly what's in the front of their mind. And that can lead to either maybe a discussion that, oh, look, I came here thinking I needed to maybe look at putting the business into some form of external administration, but look, why don't I go away and work with my other advisors and try and look at A, B, and C, and then I can have you on call if those things don't go to plan. There might be other circumstances where, you know, it does sort of then lead to more of an urgent sort of need to do something about the business. But I think that's the most important question I always like to ask, because that to me is about getting into the mindset of the person and understanding sort of what's holding them sort of back or keeping them up late at night. And I think, you know, the key is not just having one eye on, I guess, what's keeping them up at the moment, but for me as a professional then saying, okay, well, what liabilities, particularly with some of the personal liability that now sort of extends to directors of family businesses, you know, what eye do we need to keep on that and help sort of mitigate that exposure as well, so that they're aware of it? Because I guess whilst we've seen during COVID the ATO in particular take a fairly accommodative stance in relation to business debt, it doesn't take away from the fact that there's still a personal liability for pay-as-you-go, for superannuation, and from 1 April last year, GST. So that is something that, you know, business owners still need to be mindful of, and that, you know, that debt of itself doesn't go away. It might get deferred, but it doesn't go away. And so I think it is about, you know, helping the family business owner when they maybe want to have that conversation, try and just focus them in on what are the key things they need to think about. But, you know, I think inherently we've got a position at the moment where even in this second wave, just prior to that, the ATO were saying to certainly our industry that they were maybe not quite sort of moving the dial from too much from that accommodative stance to a recovery stance. And I suspect that what might happen now, Paul, is that they'll probably sort of move the dial left a little bit back to that accommodative stance, which, you know, to some extent, you know, is quite understandable. But I think, you know, we just need to remember that those debts don't actually go away.
Yeah, so they will be there. So summing up, I think, Bruce, what would be the key points for anybody at this situation?
Oh, I think the key points are you don't need to work out all these problems alone. You do need to try and seek some early intervention and get some proper health. Some proper help. And in doing so, the message should not be lost that what's important for the business owner is look after their own mental health. You know, we've heard and read a lot about it during the first round of COVID and again in the second round. I would say outside of any pandemic that looking after one's mental health is still paramount. But certainly this second sort of lockdown, I think, is a really big test for the way business owners sort of respond. And I think, you know, it is very much with that in mind. But you can't get there. You can't get there if all you're going to be doing is being constantly doing the business instead of thinking about what business needs are. And I think that's the most critical message for me. I mean, any business needs that strategic and critical thinking, and it's now more important than ever.
Mm. Great. So some really good advice and some sensible advice without the panic, which is nice to hear, because we're hearing a lot of panic. We're hearing a lot of stress at the moment.
I don't think the panic, as I said earlier, we don't make sort of good decisions when we're in a stressed and or panicked situation. And I think, you know, for different businesses, there will be different solutions as well, Paul. You know, we know that the financiers are fairly accommodating at the moment. We talked a few moments ago about the position of some of the statutory bodies like the ATO and others. But I think fundamentally, you know, we still need to look at the short-term impact on the business and really strip that back and be quite conservative about the revenue sort of position and look at how the costs, if they can be managed, can mean that the business can get across to the other side. I mean, this pandemic is not sparing any particular industry. And I think the cautionary note that I just sort of raise at the moment is that what we saw during the first round of COVID with a lot of the government measures that were introduced, we actually saw insolvency appointments drop by, on average, about 50%. Now, people listening to this might say, well, that's only fair, and I personally don't have a big problem with that. But what I actually say as a cautionary tale is that now that we're in the second phase of COVID, for businesses that are also trading with other businesses, be aware that there may be other businesses out there that aren't in a very healthy position. So if you're banking on their revenue or for them to pay your invoice, when you're looking at your objective assessment and stripping back the numbers, really look at, you know, the mix of your clients and whether or not there's any issues around the ability of those clients to pay as well.
Yeah, so we need to be mindful of who we're doing business with and where our revenue is coming from. So there's some great things that you've given us to think about there, Bruce, and some action plan to put in place. And look, if people do want to get in touch with you or with your business, with Jones Partners, what's the best way for them to make contact?
The best way is for them just to either Google my name, search me up on LinkedIn, and you can message me via LinkedIn. My contact details are there, or you can get in touch with me at Jones Partners, and more than happy to have a chat to you over the phone or via Zoom or Teams or one day soon in person as well. So, you know, look, there's many different ways. And I think, you know, the final point there is that, you know, it's hard initially to reach out and ask for help, but there are many advisors out there that are prepared to offer help, particularly during, you know, times like this. So I'm happy to be of assistance in that way.
Great. Thanks, Bruce. Look, we'll put the links to Bruce's contact details in the show notes, so make sure you have a look at those. And, yeah, feel free to make contact with Bruce and his team, and they'll give you some great advice. So thank you again, Bruce, for joining us on the Business Behind Your Business. It's been a different environment to the last time we spoke, but hopefully we're on the way out and we can see some positive steps and some positive future for our businesses.
Yeah, well, I think, as I said, you know, we can sometimes get locked into short-termism, and, you know, we ought to always just think and remind ourselves that, you know, share markets tend to look forward and cast their shadow forward. And I think that's the way we ought to be looking at things as well, is looking forward and not looking at the look at it just as though it's right in front of our face.
Thanks for listening. Do you have a question you'd like our team of experts to answer? If you do, send your question to podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. To hear more from The Business Behind Your Business, don't forget to subscribe using your favourite podcast player, or you can visit the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website.